wrestle not against flesh and blood. Victory is a goal for every battle. Get set for an empowerment to conquer in the battles of life as you listen to Encounter with the Truth by Pastor Sammy.
Amen. We are looking at the United Church. The United Church. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 25. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25 downwards. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it, until an ass head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of doves dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, 'Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto him on the next day, 'Give thy son that we may eat him.' And she had hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, 'God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day.' But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, 'See ye how this son of Medra has sent to take away my head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?' And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, 'Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer?'" Chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of flour, fine flour, be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Praise the Lord. We are looking at the United Church. And this long scripture that I've read begins the mandate of the Church of God. There was a problem in the land. There is famine. And it has become worse to the point that people are now interested in even food than the fruit of the womb. So, 2 women went into agreement. There is no food, there is hardship. So, they agreed to eat up their children. So, 1 person brought the child. The child was eating. When it was the turn of another one, he was not willing to bring the child for the child to be eaten. Now, The king was passing by. He saw the situation. And my emphasis is on what he said. He said, if tomorrow by this time, if the head of Elisha still be upon it. The question I want to ask myself is that, what was the issue of Elisha in this matter? Praise the Lord. Elisha wasn't the food minister of food and agriculture. He wasn't a food merchant. Elisha was just a prophet of God on the land. But the king realized that the solution of the problem on the land was with Elisha. When you move on with the scripture, the Bible said that when Elisha decreed that tomorrow by this time, there will be abundance of food, it happened according to the word of Elisha. The problems of our generation can only be solved by the church. Praise the Lord. All throughout scripture, every time there has been a famine, every time there has been pestilences, every time there has been hardship, one institution that has been a solution to the problems of men is the church. So you realize that the solution was in the mouth of Elisha. And the Bible said that Elisha was seated in his house, relaxed comfortably with the elders, whilst the people were suffering in famine, in hardship. Meanwhile, the solution of the problem was in the mouth of Elisha. The kind of hardship that we are going through as a people in a generation, in every generation, can only be solved by the church and not any other institution. That is why for every generation, when the church relaxes, there is a lot of decadence in the generation. In every generation, where the church is too relaxed and not going and moving according to the mandate that God has given them, there is a lot of hardship. The problems that we are going through as a nation, as a generation, is in your mouth, it is in my mouth. Praise the Lord. So God has given the church the mandate to be the solution of the world. So I realize that the church does not exist for just the congregation. The church exists for a generation. It exists for an impact in the society. Praise the Lord. All through scriptures and then in history, every time that the church is not functioning as it's supposed to, there are a lot of problems in the society. Because it is only the church that has the mandate to address the sin question. Sin is the root cause of all the problems of man. It is only the church that has the power and the mandate to address the sin question. So we have the problem, the solution to the problems of men. So, when we are not functioning as God wants us to function, there are a lot of problems in the society. If a church in a community, in a nation, their presence cannot be felt, then there is no need for the presence of that church. One of the things that we must be asking ourselves is that, as a church, what is our impact in the nation? What is our impact in the society? When we are not there, what will the society miss? Hallelujah. When we are not there, what will the society or our generation miss? What will we be remembered for? Hallelujah. So the mandate of the church is to be a solution to the generation, to be a solution to the world. So God has given the church for societal impact. And I see us as a church impacting this community, this nation, and the world at large in the name of Jesus Christ. What is the mandate of the church? We are talking about the United Church. What is the mandate of the church? Why does the church exist? Number one mandate of the church is the reconciliation of people to their maker. The reconciliation of people to their maker. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 21. We are ambassadors of Christ. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So, one main mandate of the church is to depopulate hell and populate heaven. Hallelujah. God has given the church the mandate for people to know Jesus Christ. That is one core mandate of the church. But you know, one main reason why we can't see the impact of the church is that a lot of churches, and in fact, when I talk about churches, we are talking about you and me, have neglected the core mandate of the church, that is reconciling people to Jesus. Reconciliation of people to Jesus, to their maker. So it is surprising that I have been in a church when I was young, and in that church there was never an altar call to give people the chance for them to know Jesus Christ. There was never. But we exist not just to release prosperity only and other things to people, but our core mandate for us as a church is that people will be reconciled to their maker. That is the essence of the church. Praise the Lord. So one of the teachings of Papa, the church, it tells us that is the called out ones. So you are the church, I am the church. It is not the building. So God has given you the mandate to reconcile people to Jesus. And that is why I'm saying that that is the only way we can make impact in society. Always I say, when we were at the harbor, one of the times, thieves came to steal our generator. One of the times, our television was stolen. Okay. If we are fulfilling the mandate of reconciling people to Jesus, we would have been saved. Praise the Lord. There have been times in history, like places like England, that they said one man went to England at that time. He asked for alcohol and they told him that we don't sell alcohol here. He went to a different shop. They told him here, we don't sell alcohol here. And he asked, why is it that every shop that I go, they don't sell alcohol? And they told him, a year came that a man by name John Wesley passed through this nation. And by his crusades and his impact, people stopped selling alcohol. There were times that in the evening, at every 5 p.m., people will be closing their work and be going to church. They said that 9 clubs will be playing hymns because a man passed by and reconciled people back to their maker. If society, we Christians, if we can be free and we can have our peace from armed robbers, from the vices in society, then we cannot ignore the mandate of the church. Hallelujah. So we can't exist in a community and then that community is full of drunkards. That community is full of fornicators. That community is full of sinners. Other than that, we are not fulfilling the mandate that God has given to us. And our impact is not being felt. Praise the Lord. So God has put the church so that there will be societal impact in the lives of people, that they will be reconciled back to their maker. So one wise man said that if you are at a place and then you leave that place and people don't miss your absence, then your presence wasn't needed. So we should ask our church, as a church, as a people, that if we leave this community or this church is not in this nation and people cannot miss our impact, cannot miss our absence, it means this mandate, this commission wasn't needed at all. Praise the Lord. So God has put us here that we will reconcile people back to Him. I pray in the name of Jesus that the power to do this mandate, you are receiving it in the name of Jesus Christ. All the time we assume that people are born again. That is why in most churches there is no altar call. There is no altar call. We assume people are born again. We assume that, everybody in church is born again. But I'm telling you, it's not like that. Hallelujah. So, God has put us to reconcile people. Number two, God, the mandate of the church is to raise quality Christians who know their God and who impact their world. The mandate, second mandate of the church is raising quality Christians who know their God and who impact their world. By that, what we mean is the church has a mandate to raise people in the character of Christ. The church has a mandate to raise people who don't just, in our generation, a lot of people know about their pastor. A lot of people know about the church. A lot of people know about God. But very few people know God personally. Praise the Lord. All the time, it has been what my pastor said, which is very powerful. But you must also know God for yourself. The Bible said the church in Berea, I think Acts 17:11, they were so honorable to the point that when they come to church, after they have heard the preaching of Paul, the Bible said they will go home and search scriptures to know whether the things that they were taught were as it is in the Bible. So these were people who had the desire to know God personally. It is one thing to know about God, and it is another thing to know God personally. Hallelujah. Quality Christians, with our attitude, with our lifestyle, because if this mandate is being fulfilled, we wouldn't have the kind of mess that we are having in our society. All the corruptions that go on. In fact, most of the people are in church. Praise the Lord. It shouldn't happen that we have a people who come to church and then that their lives doesn't reflect that of Christ. I remember when I had my first appointment and then I was processing my salary. It took 2 years for the salary to come. One of the times when I went to Accra to work on it, you know, the man, he had put all the files, he has packed the files under his table, and then he has opened the Bible. He was reading Bible on his table. Reading Bible. And what did he go files in his not in the table. Something that he's supposed to work on. He wanted bribe. Papa told me that it is either you pray or you pay. So I said that then I will pray. I won't pay. Praise the Lord. So it took a long time. 2 years and some months. I was not minding them. God was taking care of me. So one day, I was there. And then somebody called. No, it was my sister who called me. She said that somebody called her. And then the person said that she has seen my file in the office, and it has taken more than 2 years, so she wants to work on it. But when she called my number, it wasn't going through. So that, according to the woman, she said that a number just came to her mind, a number. You know what God will do. And when she called that number, the person was my sister who comes after me. And then she said that she asked, do you know Ebenezer Opoku from Boy? He said, yes, that's my senior brother. And then she called me. She said she gave the number to my sister for me to call her. And then I called her. She worked on the thing. I didn't pay anything. It was after when the salary came. And then I said, I want to thank you. He said, don't send me anything. Praise the Lord. You know, we have a lot of believers who are too loose in their conviction. Too loose. So we have come to a point that everything we have to pay bribe. Something that somebody is mandated to do. And interestingly, the person was a churchgoer. He was reading the Bible and he has packed everything under his table. You put something, I'll do it for you. Hallelujah. A lot of people are too loose in their conviction. Businessmen who are Christians, it comes to business, people will tell you, business aside, church aside. Praise the Lord. It shall not be your testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That we will not mix up with the world. Because if you are not different from the world, I mean, we cannot make any difference. Hallelujah. We mix up with the unbelievers. Sometimes you go to a place and church have closed, and you wonder whether it was disco or nightclub or whatever. No difference. We are raising a people who are quality in lifestyle, that people can look at you and say that this one is just like Christ. Praise the Lord. So that is the mandate of the church. And then number three, mandate of the church is to prepare people for eternity, for heaven. Prepare people for heaven. The third mandate of the church is to prepare people for eternity. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 11, he said, we are strangers. We are pilgrims. We are just passing by in this world. We must understand that whatever we are doing on earth here, a day will come that every one of us will die. And we will stand before our Maker. And that is where we will know whether we will be in heaven or we will be in hell. Hallelujah. But it is the mindset of God that everyone will not perish. So to prepare you for heaven, that is why we teach you the truth. We tell you the right thing. Praise the Lord. And we expect that the things that God speaks to you about, you will do them. Because the ultimate goal of whatever we are doing for God is for us to end up in heaven. Nowadays, it's like the focus is no more on heaven. I got born again in the 90s. And in those days, in church, every time, there is no month that will pass, you not hear heaven. You not hear earth. I mean hell. You not hear rapture. The white judgment throne. I even believe there are a lot of Christians who don't even know that, who don't know about rapture. They don't know about rapture. You ask them, what is rapture? Maybe if I do a test, it will be a problem. Don't know about rapture. But our ultimate aim is that after life here, he said we are passing by. We are pilgrims. Eh? We are passing by. Our ultimate aim is that you will be in heaven. I will be in heaven. I will see you there. Praise the Lord. Shout, I will be there. Shout it, I will be there. It's to prepare people for heaven. It's like all the things that we do as a church, we love it. Miracles, we speak, receive prosperity. So I receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive blessings. Every one of them is good. But what is the essence of receiving prosperity through the teachings of the church and you end up in hell? What is the essence? Praise the Lord. I pray that for every one of us, we will make it. Bishop Dad said that even nowadays, in most of our songs, you will not hear heaven. It's everything. You know, those days they sing, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus, I have another world in view. In view, I have another world in view. Today, our song, everything, bata, 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 bata. You will not hear heaven. Praise the Lord. You will not. It's like every of our things are centered on earth here. But the day will come, he said, it's appointed unto man to die. And after it, there is judgment. So, the mandate of the church is for us to raise people to go to heaven. Now, there are other things, but because of time, for us to be able to fulfill that mandate, there is the need for unity. Praise the Lord. For us to be able to fulfill the mandate of the church, mandate of raising quality Christians, mandate of reconciling people to Jesus, the mandate of preparing people for heaven, there is the need for the people that God has called to be united. There is a scripture in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1. Let's read that scripture. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1. The Tower of Babel. He said, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Verses 2. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Sinai, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stones and for lime. And they had it for what? For mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we scatter abroad from the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. So take note of the language, the grammar there. The people is one. You know, in grammar, do we say the people is one? We say the people are one. But here, Holy Spirit said, the people is one. It tells you how united the people were. The Holy Spirit, God saw all the people as one person. So they had one vision. They had one mandate. When you call this one here and you ask the person, what is the mandate of the church? They will all speak the same thing to you. And he said, and they have all one language. This they began to do. And nothing will restrain them from that which they have imagined to do. So when a people are united in purpose, a people are united in mind, in soul, in spirit, there is nothing that they have imagined to do that they don't have the power to do. Praise the Lord. These people said, we are building a house from here to heaven. And it took the intervention of God. God said that if I don't, when you read on, for God to break that mandate, he had to separate them with different languages. Different languages. I think it's Papa who told us a story about somebody who went to visit, his friend in the home. And then, when he went, I think he could speak a different language. The friend could also speak a different language. And then the friend spoke a certain language to the father. And what the friend meant was that, Daddy, my friend has come. So come and let's welcome him. The friend, in his language, it meant that, Daddy, my enemy has come. Bring cutlass. And so he started running away. Praise the Lord. For God to separate, destroy their agenda, he had to separate them with their language. You know, the word division, it simply means different vision. Thy vision, different vision. You have your own vision, I have my own different division. So when any time you see a people are divided, you see that their mindsets are not the same. They have different agendas, different thinking patterns. Praise the Lord. There is a vision that God has given to us as a church. There is a mandate that God has given to us as a church. If we can receive power to achieve that mandate, then we as a people must be united. There must be oneness in purpose. Praise the Lord. The enemy is able to penetrate the church when there is division, when people are not united. That is why in our generation, the church is not making a lot of impact like our brothers, the Muslims. I was saying it at the youth camp yesterday that I can't understand. Recently, there has been a debate. The government wants to build a church, a cathedral for, Christians. I don't care about your view, how you see it. People are saying, oh, we are suffering. I come there and other thing. But my question is, do you know that government has built a national mosque for Muslims? So that time, they're not coming here. That time, they're not your own tree. You know, recently a tape leaked. And all the people who are criticizing this thing that the government is doing, all of them are Christians. A tape leaked. And now, Onipakronosu MP or Kasawetre, about this cathedral. And I believe he's a Muslim because your kind is a Nkofo Wedi Ebesi Si Omoda. Because how can the government use my tax to carry people from here in the name of Islamic religion to Saudi Arabia and nobody is talking about it? Government wants to build a church for Christians and we ourselves, we are speaking against it. It's interesting. So Muslims, they need at that time. Now there was nothing wrong. And they need a home tree. Omu Timidi and tax. I remember there was a day, President Kofor's time, where he wanted to carry 200 pastors to Jerusalem. Was it President Kofor or President Mahama? Forget to one of them. And no subeye, hey, ye divida. But they carry people from here with your tax, my tax, to Saudi Arabia. And nobody talks about it. No wonder he says, because we are not one. Because we are not united. That is why we are not able to fulfill the mandate of the church. A lot of cities, a lot of nations that used to be Christian nations are being taken over by Islamic religion. And we are here fighting. We are fighting government. Praise the Lord. Even the cathedral, I don't know whether they are telling the truth or not. But you see that I don't think even government had money inside. They are just raising funds. And in a donation, the president, he said, this is from my own coffers. And people don't understand. So I'll see if you know own coffers. If I hope, or so no one, or see if you know coffers. Now, national mosques, I've forgotten the amount. I was reading it on the net. The amount the vice president gave to the Muslims. Go to the Jubilee House. I have one MPP executive. Was it Omar Danny Hall? Yeah, can you say? A mosque. Every time when it is time for their prayer, they spread their mat everywhere and pray. Hallelujah. So, until we are united in purpose, unity demands that we defend. Hallelujah. Unity demands that, there are a lot of things. In unity, we are not in competition. We complement each other. A lot of people, when people are in competition, what arises is that competition makes you incomplete. It makes you feel incomplete. We complement each other. We are not in competition with Methodists. We are not in competition with Pentecost or Assemblies of God. We are all fulfilling one mandate. I see you as my brother. I see you as my sister. Hallelujah. If there is something that is not going on well, inside we correct you. But outside we shield you. Have you ever seen Malam for? Who can say omone young girls ended that? But have you ever on radio heard people discussing a wrong thing that a Malam has done? You will never hear that. Your upper try. But yeah, yet me surpass of one people's hand. As I would your mubre. It drew baby crown for now, come baby. As I won't mean their company. Yes, of course. Yet me so power more. Sometimes. And so power now, more so power more. Hey, yeah. A Christopher. Hallelujah. So I am saying this, bringing it to our context as a church. We defend ourselves. We compliment each other. We don't want anybody to die as a wounded soldier. Praise the Lord. If people backslide because of our unity, we don't leave them. We work on them like the way soldiers do until every one of them come back on their feet. Praise the Lord. So for us to be able to fulfill this mandate, there is the need for unity. Hallelujah. And one way unity is enhanced is by love. One way unity is enhanced is by love for people. Love for people. Love for people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Praise the Lord. So you see, love is very, very powerful. Love for people. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, it says that God is love. He that loveth God says that he loves God that he has not seen, and hated his brother that he has seen. He said that how dwelleth the love of God in that person. For unity to enhance, when you read the Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 45, the church in Jerusalem, one of the things that enhanced their unity, that they were always in one accord, they had all things in common, was the virtue of love. The virtue of love. And I pray that for every one of us, God will share abroad the spirit of love in our heart. So that for us, we love ourselves. Hallelujah. You know, the opposite of love is just selfishness. There is something about this human nature that thinks that, like, what you have is not the best. It's like something that is somewhere is better than what you have. So you see that, that's why I was talking about competition. It makes you incomplete. You think that, so you don't love the things that you have. Praise the Lord. For us to be able to achieve God's mandate for us as a united people, there should be the spirit of love stirred amongst us. We love ourselves. We love the things that we have. We love our songs. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, I've been a Christian for a long time, but you know, and my teacher, but I can confidently tell you, our songs are one of the best songs. But you don't take time to ponder over the words in most of our songs. But you see that most of them talks about love for God. Most of them talks about holiness. Most of them, they talk about the Holy Spirit, the fundamentals of Christianity. Praise the Lord. So you must love our songs. I can't understand why when we are singing, you can't sing our songs. No. But you can rattle Shatawale. Other songs, you can rattle them. You must learn our songs. Praise the Lord. English, she, fancy, whatever. You must learn them. Sometimes we say, I'm not here to know, bro. Nigeria for no, what you say? We don't know whether it is the right pronunciation, but we sing it. Hallelujah. So what's the meaning of saying, I don't understand English, so I can't say. Pronounce it anyway. Flow it with the rhythm. Hallelujah. It is that through that we can, fulfill the mandate that God has given to us. So we love what we have. We love our people. Love simply means, one definition of love is treating others as you want to be treated. Treating others as you want to be treated. There is no time, my time is up, but when you read, I think Mark chapter 7, he summarizes the Bible, and he said all the commandments in the Bible, they are wrapped up in one. Love God with all your heart. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. So the Old Testament, you know, all the commandments, when Jesus was talking, he summarized them in two sentences. Love God. Love your neighbor. As yourself. So you must be asking yourself, if, you know, when, and it is one perfect way to live in holiness. It is one perfect way when you love people. Because when you love people, you will not steal from them. If you love people, the Bible talks about the commandment, you will not have their wives. A lot of people are not able to express love because of the nature of selfishness. You have it. I need it. So I must snatch it. You must be asking yourself, at workplace, if I was the boss, if I was the boss, will I be doing what I am doing? Or will my expectation, what I am doing now at my workplace, the way I am listening about, the way I am doing my things, if I was the boss, will I be happy with that employee? If the answer is no, then you check yourself. Hallelujah. Treating others as you want to be treated. All the problems we have in our nation is because of selfishness. That is why people can take monies that belong to people who are poor. It is for you, but I need it, so I take it. It's interesting. I think Wednesday it rained. And then somebody's hotel that he has built on our road there, I think he has built for years. They call it an Aji something, is it? Vijay Hotel or something. Because of somebody's selfishness, when it rained, the water also washed all those things under. So a hole was created and that hotel now collapsed. Everything, somebody's investment, lifetime, everything collapsed because of selfishness. I need money. So I must create hole under your house. A lot of the time we do things without considering other people. Bishop Dag has written a book, Others. In your lifetime, in your life living, always remember that whatever you are doing, there are others. Praise the Lord. We are suffering. Look at all these flats in Accra. It's because of selfishness. I build my house. I also need a house. So the waterway, I come and build and block everything in the gutter. My home is dirty and it must be clean. So I put rubbish inside the gutter to block the gutters. What happens to other people, I don't care. If we want to fulfill the mandate and become one as a people, we need to love ourselves. The First Corinthians, it talks about the fact that love is patient. Hallelujah. Love is kind. Love doesn't give room for offenses. It gives room for offense. As a people, as a family, we are the same people who will offend ourselves. Praise the Lord. You can't be bitter against an enemy. Mean somebody who is passing, who is not a member of the, I don't know yet, because you don't even know him. Praise the Lord. But it is somebody who is a brother, someone who is a sister, that will offend you, that will do something against you. We must have room to forgive people. Praise the Lord. We must have room. That is how come we can build a culture of love amongst us that will stir up unity. You put yourself in the shoes of others. That this one is going through that trouble. I don't gossip about him. What help can I give to that one? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, never be part of any meeting where people use their mouth to run people down. You are talking about that negative thing. What can you do to help that person? That must be the question. One of the times I found myself in a meeting. Meeting of pastors and Christians, not knowing they have not just met to have fellowship, they have just met to run people down. They take this one, they talk about him, warrior, they put him down, they take another one. I told them, please, I'm picking something from my car. Away. One of the things that can help us as a church is that wish people well. Celebrate people. Never wish evil of people. Wish people well. I always tell people that it is witchcraft that have crafty witches. Wishes. People who wish people evil. That is why we can create a certain atmosphere. Someone has a testimony. We celebrate that person. You are not sitting there moody asking yourself, when will it be my turn? Be happy for that person. Definitely it will be your turn. Hallelujah. If you have people or friends who are always wishing evil for people, run away from them. They are witches. It is just that they have not graduated into flying. Very soon they will be flying. Hallelujah. Wish people well. We wish ourselves well. It is my desire that you will do well. Praise the Lord. When you do well and you are at an office, it is easier for me to have the breakthrough that I want. Hallelujah. One of the times I was going to do license, the way Pastor Patrick was running around, DVLA running around. And like the people were surprised. Why is he that busy and running around? Don't know. He's our pastor. He's one of our church members. Praise the Lord. So it is easy for me to have that favor. Not that somebody is promoted and It has become the platform for you now to remember something that God didn't do for you. Ah! Hallelujah. This is a testimony now. God has... But love means you are wishing that person what? That person well. I pray that for every one of us in our lifetime actions and decisions, whatever we are doing, we should remember that there are others. There are others. Let us be kind to ourselves. Hallelujah. There are some of us, you have enough to take care of people in secondary school. You have enough to take care of poor people. You have enough to be a blessing to somebody. You have enough to end somebody's prayer point. I remember some story one of our Methodist pastors told us that they went to church to pray. And then, whilst they were praying, there was one man who was shouting, All his prayers, he needed just 500,000. Currently, that's 50 cities. Can you know chance? I'm going to pray so. Master, the 500,000. Bumpy any be mami. Said the buyer, sell contract way. Mensuma winning. He just ended the prayer point of that person. Just 500 cities. But somebody may be in the church who have that amount, praise the Lord, to be a bailout for him. I pray that the spirit of sharing, I've not been able to give my point, so it has become like preaching. The spirit of sharing will overflow us. Hallelujah. That is how the apostles they did. That is why the Bible said there was none among them that was poor. Because you bring your 2,000, I bring my 1,000, he brings his 50,000. When we have, we find the average, maybe everybody is having 700. And at the point in time, all of us are the same. So there is no difference. You can't see a rich man. You can't see a poor man. Hallelujah. I pray that the spirit of love will be stirred amongst us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let us love the things that we have. Let us cherish the people that we have. Praise the Lord. Every one of us here, you know, you see people here like that, they are very great people. You can't undermine or underestimate anybody. Praise the Lord. We love ourselves. We love ourselves. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, as we love God, may the Lord empower us to be able to fulfill the mandate of the church in the name of Jesus Christ. You see that when a people love God, one of the main benefits of love is we see supernatural acts of God. In John chapter 14 verses 21 and then 23, he that keepeth my commandment is he that loveth me and my Father. We will make our abode in him. So God is resident in an atmosphere of love. Everywhere there is division, comes. We have in a church. You know, that is how come the church was getting destroyed. You said the Grecians, the Hebrews, they hid their food. And so it started creating problems. I can't understand in a church we have Ashanti something something association. No, we are all the same. There is no difference between the Jew, praise the Lord, and the Greek. Same. We treat ourselves the same. Hallelujah. So, every atmosphere that there is love, it is an atmosphere for the people to experience the supernatural acts of God. That is why the first church in the book of Acts, the people were seeing strange miracles, wonders, because it was an atmosphere of love. When we love ourselves, God resident himself in our midst. Supernatural acts. I pray that for every one of us, signs and wonders shall be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Clap your hands. Let's be on our feet. Let's please be on our feet and pray to God in the name of Jesus.
You are here this month and you want Jesus in your life. Somebody here needs to give his life to Jesus. Something might change in your life. You need that Jesus. I want to pray with you. You want to say Jesus will become your Lord and Savior. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You want to say, I need Jesus. If I die today, I cannot make it to heaven because my life is not right. Lift your right hand and I'll pray with you. In somebody's life, say, Father, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. Today, I ask you, come into my life. Become my Lord and Savior. From today, I will follow you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.
We trust that you have been blessed by the word of God. We would love to have you worship with us at Conquest Global Ministries, Kakrade, or call us on 0243-287-958 or 0246-111-278. You are blessed.